The readings of today have one thing that is congruous, one with the other, that the salvation of our Lord is called out, proclaimed, and of course that is what the word church means, ecclesia, those who are called, those who are invited. And to what are they invited? Where are they invited? To the house of God, to the family of God, which we enter by faith and baptism. And so we have many different places, and it's interesting and a little bit humorous that we have in the readings of today Somebody's messing around with my missal again. But we have the words which we were laughing about in the sacristy before, but we have Tarshish, which a lot of people mispronounce, and we have Put and Lud, Mozok, Yubal, and Yavan. Those are totally foreign words to us. And of course, it is the prophet Isaiah who is writing this thousands of years ago and in preparation for the Christ. But everything that he speaks about is a prophecy, and this prophecy is particularly fulfilled in the feast of the Epiphany. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses, chariots, and carts, upon mules and dromedaries. The one-humped camels, they're dromedaries. This reminds us of the Epiphany, the kings who come, and they are the priest kings of their own countries, of their own cities, when there were city-states. Just as, for instance, the Vatican is a city-state. It is its own country. So they come, and they come to Jerusalem. Why? Because it is the holy mountain of the Lord. And Jerusalem, of course, is a figure of the church. From all the nations of the world, they come to the church, the holy mountain, says the Lord. And they bring their offerings. And then it's interesting, this is also a prophecy of the Epiphany. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. And of course, the three kings that we know, Saints Balthasar, Caspar, and Melchior, all became Christians, all became priests, and became bishops. And then, which Isaiah, Saint Isaiah does not say, they were martyred for the faith. And their relics rest gloriously on a beautiful reliquary to the side of the altar, of the main altar of the Cathedral of Cologne in Germany. On the other side of that altar, there is an equally beautiful and imposing reliquary, I mean like 20 feet high, of the Maccabees, the seven brothers of Maccabees and their mother, who encouraged them to die for the sake of Christ. And of course, that is what we need to do. That is what we are to do. We need to encourage our children to follow Christ all the way, even if necessary, to shedding our blood. And so the gospel is very appropriate also. Lord, who can be saved? Will there be many people that will be saved? And of course, I think we know the answer to that, especially here. And our Lord does not answer it straight off, directly. He says, that which is necessary in order for people to be saved, strive to enter through the narrow gate. The narrow gate of the law of God and of His holy church. If you go by any old highway and any gate that are open in so many other religions and heresies, as it were, that will not take you to heaven. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, the gate of the church, which is very narrow, very restricted. Not everyone is called. And so, he says, many, I tell you, will attempt to enter. And you speak to some of these people, and everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. And they come up to you, you know, the audacity of coming up to a priest or a bishop and saying, asking him, are you saved? It's very tempting not to take the fist and say, teach him, yeah, let me show you how I'm saved. Boom. You and loot and toot can go. That's not the way it is, though. Not the way it is at all. And so, the house is the house of God. The new Jerusalem, the new temple. And they will come, and they will knock at the door. And the door is locked, because not everybody can go in. Only those who are called by baptism to begin with. And after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and say, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Who are you? And I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised, because not having followed Christ in their lives, every single day of their lives, it is not just our comfort that makes us Catholics or Christians. It is following Christ, even up to Mount Calvary and to the cross, just as those who are in heaven already have done, including the great and glorious Mother of God, Mary Most Holy, who is body and soul in heaven, who has been assumed into heaven. But the rest, I do not know who you are. Who are you? What are you doing here? What do you want from me? We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Yes, we have. We do. We shall. But you not open your ears. Again, he says, I do not know you. Depart from me. Be gone. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you're yourselves cast out. You're looking from the outside, looking in through a little crack in the door, but you cannot go in. He will not allow you to go in. The following of Christ is exact and must be done, or else. And of course, there's always a smart aleck, and this lesson I tell you every year or so when I come upon this. I had, in the seminary, I was called upon to teach about this gospel, this pericope of the gospel. And some smart aleck raises his hand in the class, another seminarian, God knows where he is, I don't know, I don't remember who it was, nor do I care. And he said, well, what if you don't have any teeth? Because this is after death, you know. And I said to him, no. You know, I took it in stride. After the resurrection, for those who are resurrected to life, you will be complete. You will have a body of a 20-year-old, and you will have your teeth, and you will have your eyes, even if you are blind, all your eyes, and you will have your hair, and you will have no wrinkles. You will be young and exuberant. So you will have your teeth. And our Lord says, there will be grinding of teeth and wailing. Wailing, because they will know that they are damned for eternity. In the meantime, he says, many people will come to the house of God, to the church. And of course, it's true. And if you were to go to Rome at any given time, but especially this year, where there are really, literally millions of pilgrims from all over the world, you will see they're from everywhere. They have been called and they have come. And of course, we rejoice in the gift of salvation which comes from the Lord. So, some are last, who should be first, but they were not because they did not attend to and they did not pay heed to the call of Christ and the church. And they are one. The church is the mystical body of Christ, nobody else's. And some who are first will be last. So, we need to pay heed to the call of our Lord, that we may enter at the end of our lives into the kingdom of God, into heaven, forever and ever and ever. A very difficult concept to imagine because we do not know such a thing on earth. Perfect peace, perfect happiness, perfect health. That happens only in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.